AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Football, full circle.
Better not give them overconfidence. This humility is 1 week away. We're playing a good football team, which I know none of y'all believe me when I say that. I know a good football team, and I know a good conference, and I know a well-coached team when I see one. And watching them on tape, they're very well-coached. I'm not ready to go make Clemson the Notre Dame game of the past because there's a lot of different scenarios about that. I don't see the link as much as maybe those players do. No disrespect to them. I just don't see that as a link. I see it as it was one game, it's over with. Now we're worried about UAB.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 204. Week one in the books. And as always, a wild and crazy week. It doesn't matter if it's the first week, the last week, in the middle. It seems like there's always crazy stuff in college football. And the encyclopedia of college football is, of course, Go for the Two, Joe Lisi. Joe, hope you had a good Labor Day weekend, my man. How are you?
Well, it was great that college football was on. Great games across the landscape of college football. But I am the encyclopedia. But I felt like I got hit by about five encyclopedias this weekend. Starting out cold as ice, Carver. Cold as ice. They beat me into a corner this weekend. It's 1 week. It's not my first rodeo, baby. Okay, I've been here before. We're going to settle down, and we're going to start running hurry up to get back into this game.
Yeah, I didn't want to come right out of the gate with it. I know that there was some things that didn't go your way. I didn't have a great weekend either. There was a couple hits, a couple misses here and there. That's kind of the way it goes in the feeling out process early on in the college football season. Because, Joe, as always, there's going to be some teams that are overrated in the preseason that clearly are not as good as their, quote, preseason ranking is. And I think there's always a couple teams that, you know, take you by surprise and maybe they're a little bit better than you thought. We'll get to some of those teams throughout the show here today, Joe, but I have to start, of course, with some of the bigger games, and it goes where you heard in our open, Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs and the 10-3 win over the Clemson Tigers on Saturday night in Charlotte. Couple thoughts, Joe, on this game. Obviously, defensive struggle, not a lot of points, no offense, scored a touchdown. The Christopher Smith pick six, the only thing that you got in terms of getting into the end zone. And I think the biggest takeaway for me, Joe, is DJU. Now, I know the offensive line was awful, but it just seems like he's, I know it's one game, maybe not in the same class that they just had with Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's just kind of, he seemed like he held on to the ball too long, wasn't making things happen fast enough. I know the line was bad, but I thought he could have did more, Joe.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, obviously, you know, it takes a feeling out process, but that is one of the top defenses in terms of college football. Georgia only allowed 92 rushing yards per game last year. They are physical. They are a big-bodied SEC defense. And when you think of Alabama, you also think of Georgia. So, you know, Georgia's offense still needs to evolve, but from a defensive side of the ball, they are top five in the country. So I think that that's what DJU struggle with, the ability to always have pressure in his face, not to understand where to go with the football because those defensive backs were locking them down. You know, it's just matchups, right, Carver? It's how Clemson attacked this game. Georgia took away everything short. They said, okay, you want to beat us over the top, go ahead. ahead, but we're not going to give you a chance to throw. And that was really the game plan that played out. And we talked about it as well. The difference between Clemson's offense last year as opposed to 2 years ago, right, with 18 and 19, they used to have a better offensive line. They would pound the rock for well over 200. What did they get, one rushing yard on Saturday night? Rushing yard. Now that you include the sacks with that, but that doesn't matter. If you can't run the football consistently, you're going to be put into predictable third down situations, and that's the matchup that played out in Charlotte. So credit Kirby Smart. From a defensive game plan, phenomenal. That offense, though, needs to get going because they still have a matchup with Florida looming. They're going to have to score some points in that battle in Jacksonville.
No, they certainly are, and they have that coming down the line. And look, a big boost for Georgia. They move to the second choice now to win the national title at most books. They're 4-1 at FanDuel, right behind Alabama, who's plus 180. Clemson falls to 6-1. Honestly, Joe, like I know that there was some talk after, well, Clemson isn't finished. Even if they run the table in the ACC this year, having this one loss to Georgia, that might not be – I mean, I don't think it's going to be enough for them this year. I think that Clemson needed the game maybe more than Georgia did because Georgia would have had that carrot down the line of potentially playing Alabama in the SEC title game. Clemson doesn't have that, and it wasn't a good weekend for the ACC overall.
Well, that's the biggest thing, right? The conference lets you down. Louisville gets blown out last night by Ole Miss. You had Miami that got steamrolled, right? So from really that national perspective, the conference didn't step up. And when you have North Carolina that laid an egg in Blacksburg, that doesn't help you as well in terms of looking at that. But I understand the overreactions, and I understand the ACC, and people are down on them, and rightfully so, but these things have a way of evening themselves out. Even Alabama, I mean, we're crowning them because they have done it, right? But they still have very difficult games. They play Ole Miss. They play Texas A&M. They still have a rivalry game with Auburn. Anything could happen. If LSU could find their tracking and get back on track by November, that's a difficult ball game. So I'd hate to just say, let's anoint the top four right here, right now, because quite honestly, I gotta be honest, Oklahoma did not look.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Call that great against Tulane.
No, they did not, Joe. We'll talk about that and Alabama steamrolling when we come back. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back, we get into Bryce Young in Alabama, and geez, what a Saturday afternoon it was for them in Atlanta against the U. College football full circle rolls on right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, let's move on to Alabama because you mentioned it. Everybody wants to crown him right now after this weekend. 44-13 in Atlanta. They whacked Miami. I wish they would have whacked them a little bit more. I mean, geez, Joe, no point. I mean, they basically, you know, put the ball in the cupboard with about 10 or 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We were trying to get that over 61.5, and I got to sit there with a 57 on the board looking for one more touchdown. But all in all, Joe, the reason people are trying to crown him is it looks like there's no drop-off. I mean, honestly, none. They get every year more and more guys go to the NFL. Every year, you know, now Mac Jones goes, he's going to start for the Patriots. They slide in Bryce Young. I mean, four touchdowns, you know, which tied the record, I believe, Joe, for an first Alabama starter at quarterback in his first game. As soon as the bell rang, Joe, away they went. It's just amazing. Yep. It really is.
And you saw the post-game press conference with St. Nick with that stupid helmet on. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you like to just blindside him, like take a shot? I mean, wait, come on. He's got like that grin on him. Nick, you did it again. Great job. You know, great job. I mean, it was a great job. But at the end of the day, these teams continue to get, they play right into the Alabama strength on a defensive side of the ball. Let me just say this. You cannot beat Alabama going sideline to sideline. That is not how you challenge the Crimson Tide defense. You have to neutralize their speed by attacking them vertically on seam patterns, post patterns, run their defensive backs off, run their linebackers off to open up running lanes. You want to throw bubble screens, two-yard hitches, five-yard outs, you're not going to beat Alabama. You want to play scared? Go ahead. That's the way to lose to Alabama. You want to challenge them and maybe push their defense to the limit and maybe cover a game just once, challenge them vertically. I should be offensive coordinator. Look, I could put up 30 points on Alabama, I guarantee.
Listen,
you
they did a Miami did an awful job on Saturday, Joe.
How about King? You're down 27-3. You have
reach
a fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. You're getting paid how much by the Florida Panthers? $600,000. How about you dive over the goal line?
Joe isn't a business about the NIL deal. Here we go.
How about you dive over the goal line, sell your body, and try to score a touchdown? How about that? That was a 14-point swing when they get stopped on fourth down, and then the defense comes by. I mean, come on now. Like, really? How about you just dive? I guess college players don't dive over the goal line anymore. It's a lost art.
94 yards to Jamison Williams two plays later. And they wanted to cry about the safety in the end zone, you know, after that. Please, stop. I mean, you guys
were texting me about that, too, right?
I thought it was a bad call. But I was upset because Miami didn't get any points because, like I said, I was looking for that over, that 61.5. And you know, fourth and goal, I was with you. Can we get it in? And then the 2 points with the safety could have helped me out. And then the 94-yard touchdown and the next play.
That was the dagger. They just
stabbed
you, right?
That made it 34-3 after that, and away Alabama goes. And look, Joe, until somebody takes him down, this is going to be – they're going to be anointed that nobody's beating him. That's how this season is going to go. They have stamped it again in the preseason kickoff, you know, the week one kickoff classic. We're here, we're Alabama, and we're going to beat teams down. All right, Joe, let's go to the next one for you here. You mentioned Oklahoma, too. We'll stay with these top five teams. You thought all week long that Tulane was going to be game here, especially if the game was going to be home. The game gets moved to Norman. I kind of got off the bus. I said, I think Oklahoma could really take care of business here. Give Tulane a ton of credit, Joe, the way that they played in the second half of that ball game to get it to one score, to get the onside kick. I mean, Joe, when they get the kick, you want them to score so badly.
I know.
It was reminiscent, Joe, of the Army game a few years ago in Norman when you thought Army was going to take them down and it ended up going OT and Oklahoma beat them. But it kind of felt like that to me. Oklahoma, again, asleep at the wheel. Week number one at home against, let's just be fair, a lesser opponent. They just
right, without a doubt. And we've seen this from Oklahoma year in and year out where they play down to the level of competition. And it almost cost them again. And this game, I said it on College Football Today, resembled 2 years ago when Boise State and Florida State were supposed to open up, I believe it was in Atlanta. And there was a situation where that game got moved to Tallahassee. And what happened? Florida Florida State was a 6.5-point favorite. They lost the game outright to Hank Bachmeyer and the crew, right? So same type of situation. That was a 26.5-point favorite on the road, Oklahoma and Tulane. The game gets switched to Norman. They then inflate to 31.5. It got up to 34.5 in game when they took the lead 14-7. And then from that point, it was all Michael Pratt and Tajay Spears. Credit Willie Fritsch. He's a great game planner, one of the most underrated head coaches. I said that Tulane was going over their win total of 5.5 this year, and I'm holding true to that. Michael Pratt, as a sophomore, stepped up. He's an athletic kid, and they can make some plays. And that offensive line, that's how they're built. Interior offense and defensive line play for the Green Wave.
Yeah, they did a really good job. And, you know, Oklahoma just – they're going to lose one of these games, Joe, at some point. Maybe even two. Just like they did last year where they lost to Kansas State, they lost to Iowa State. Somebody in the Big 12 is going to beat them this year. That's just the way that I don't think that they're as great as everybody thinks. And I'll tell you who else I don't think is as great as everybody thinks, and that's at Spencer Rattler. I know everybody loves him, and he's a very gifted player, preseason Heisman favorite. He leaves a little bit to be desired as well, Joe, in these games. Like that's the type of game against Tulane that he should have what Bryce Young did against Miami. He should be dropping 4 touchdowns, 300+. And you look at Rattler's numbers over some of these games at Oklahoma's law, even last year, the 2 losses. He doesn't seem like he has that killer instinct, Joe. That's the thing for me with Spencer Rattler right now.
Well, last year, he threw 4 picks in the first 3 games of the year and then finished with 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, right? And it really was the rushing attack of Ramondre Stevenson and the offensive line that really carried that offense in the second half of the year. So if they become predictable, that could be maybe a hitch in terms of Spencer Rattler. I don't like him for the Heisman. I think there's some other quarterbacks and some other players that could be deserving. Again, they're going to have an opportunity. They still have to play Nebraska, which is a rivalry game. They got to play Iowa State. They have to play Oklahoma State. So and Texas, right? Texas would be John Robinson. Yeah. So those are 3 games that are going to actually challenge Oklahoma. We'll see if they're up to the billing in those ball games.
Yeah, he's not the favorite already. We know this stuff swings very big week to week, especially with live, you know, how the odds change on a weekly basis. This wasn't like this in the old days, Joe. You know, that the Heisman odds would be on a week to week. Now they're almost hour to hour what they change. But
it's hour to hour, I know.
Spencer Rattler, who was the preseason Heisman favorite, he's now 3rd at 10-1. Bryce Young, I mean, this is another overreaction. Bryce Young plus 350 to win the Heisman. Listen, great first game. And we said it's going to be a quarterback probably from one of these top teams going for the title. Matt Corral, 7-1. And we'll talk about them after the next break and what Ole Miss did last night. But Rattler's already 3rd, Joe, after 1 week. Went from 1st to 3rd.
Yeah, and you have to jockey and see, you know, it's like the Kentucky Derby. It's like the guys, you know, Spencer Rattler had the lead. He broke out in front, and all of a sudden, here comes Bryce Young. But do you want to bet on the horse that's, you know, halfway in or a quarter into the season or in the first leg? Or do you want to wait till the final stretch run?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it's all about. So nice job by Tulane. I thought that they really showed up in a very tough situation for them after what went on down in New Orleans. For them to go to Norman and really push the Sooners, tremendous job. When we come back, Joe, Chip Kelly and the UCLA Bruins and the job that they did Saturday night at the Rose Bowl against Ed Orgeron. Jeez, I mean, come on, Ed. Can we do a little bit better out in Pasadena on Saturday night? College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and talk about more of the games from over the weekend right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Coming up next segment, who screwed you the most this weekend? Joe's got a lot of candidates. I got a few as well. But we'll do that in the next segment here on College Football Full Circle. Let's keep plowing through these games here, Joe, and we'll go out to Pasadena from Saturday night. And we got to give Chip Kelly a ton of credit here. 38-27, yeah. The UCLA Bruins get a massive win. Big primetime game over Ed Orgeron and LSU. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, huge game. He threw for three touchdowns. Charbonnet backed up the week one performance against Hawaii with a buck 17 and a touchdown. I mean, Max Johnson was awful. I mean, yeah, it's 30 and three touchdowns. That's fine. But I didn't think he made big plays when they needed him. Offensively, defense. Here's the biggest thing for me, Joe. That LSU defense, they look like the defense that I saw last year get torn up by Mississippi State the first game of the year. They look like a D that last year got shredded week after week after week. And a couple of the national guys were tweeting this as the game was going on. I guess they didn't improve on anything. It's the same awful LSU defense that we saw a year ago, and it showed at Pasadena.
Right, but then, PFF will put out there, best highest-ranked defensive back. Derek Stingley Jr., come on. I mean, you give up 38 points to UCLA. This was a team that was 10-21 heading into this matchup under Chip Kelly, a team that never stepped up against superior competition. You have an SEC-caliber offense and defensive lines. You have Kayshon Booty. You have a physical, just a physical team, at least on paper, right? And then Ed Orgeron calls them out, number one, with the sissy blue. Oh, come on, man. Step up. You're LSU. You should steamroll this team in UCLA. But credit the Bruins. They have a rushing attack, and as long as they can run the football effectively, their front seven has gotten much, much better over the last couple of years. They only allowed around 150 rushing yards to opposing offenses last year. They did have 17 total starters, coming back to this team. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he made plays. He did not make plays against Hawaii. They held him back, but he stepped up. He only completed 50% of his passes against Hawaii in that week one matchup, but was the offensive line. But I'll tell you what, when you run the football consistently, you have options, and that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing for Chip Kelly. If they have options in terms of this offense with the running game, they could be lethal. Now, we have to see how they do and navigate through the Pac-12 schedule, but that was a quality win. I give all the credit to Chip Kelly and the crew, but, if you're LSU, time to regroup, get back to basics, and start putting a hat on a hat, as they say, in terms of the defensive side of the ball.
Well, let me tell you something, Joe. Last thing on Ed there. He's lucky he won the national title 2 years ago, okay? Because he never
did. Did he really win it, or was that Joe Brady and Dave Aranda?
Well, listen, that's the thing. Like, he had a year where he had tons of NFL first-round picks. Joe Burrow was outstanding. You're right. Brady was excellent in the coordinator role. If you take that year away, Ed loses a lot of big games, Joe. And this was another one, opening the year. I get it's a tough trip. And here's another thing. They obviously, tough circumstances for them, along with all the Louisiana schools. It didn't bother Tulane and Norman. You know, it was a tough week for all the Louisiana schools. I get that. But Ed doesn't do a good job in these games.
No, he doesn't.
And he didn't have his
team. He got out-coached.
By Chip Kelly.
Hang on. He thought, you know, we're LSU. We're going to go out. Right.
Very pompous.
We're going to go out. We're going to punch him in the mouth. And right. I got you. We got that, Ed. That's great. Can you actually do it? You know, can you throw a helmet across the locker room and get these kids fired up? But then I got to watch this, you know, about how Derek Stingley Jr. is you know, top-ranked cornerback heading into the draft this weekend. Right? Well, I mean, come on. This is what bothers me about college football. You're LSU. Alabama takes care of business each and every year, each and every week. It's a job. That's the difference. These kids, I want to play college ball. I don't. I'm getting an NIL deal. When you play for Nick Saban, you go to play football, and the money and everything will come when you get W's on the field. That's the difference.
All right, some quick thoughts on some of these other games. I know that you loved this one because it was old school. It was scoreless at the half. It was, you know, teams throwing haymakers, no offense whatsoever until finally, after halftime, Clifford was able to find Dotson for that 49-yarder. The Penn State-Wisconsin game, 16-10 final in Madtown. All the points come in the second half. We had a blocked field goal. We had Penn State putting it away in the fourth quarter with the Kane run. Really throwback type of Big Ten game that Penn State, and a huge win for them, Joe.
Oh, that was the best game of the afternoon for me. The best game of the afternoon was the Penn State-Wisconsin game. I love defensive matchups, the physicality in terms of the offensive line of Wisconsin, that front seven of Penn State, bend but don't break. And then it was almost like a title fight. You had the counterpuncher in Penn State. They lost the field position battle early. They weathered the storm, and when they had their knockout shot, they took it with Jahan Dotson and Sean Clifford over the top, and they rallied multiple times. That was a fantastic job by James Franklin. They are going to be a contender. I'm telling you right now, everybody's talking Iowa. Penn State is Ohio State's best challenge to unseat the Buckeyes for a Big Ten title this year.
And you mentioned Iowa. They took it to Indiana. That thing got out of control fast. You know, they had the touchdown, then the pick six, got to 14-0 before anybody could even get in their seats. And look, Indiana did not look good, Joe. And I know that a lot of us had some hopes, you know, that last year's out-of-nowhere great season from Tom Allen and Michael Penix. Let's just hope this is a blip on the road, because I'd like to see Indiana stay in the mix, Joe. But they didn't look very good in Iowa on Saturday.
No, they didn't, but they play Cincinnati coming up, so it's a chance to regroup, right? We said when we talked about their win total, we didn't think this was going to be a 10-win football team, did we? We thought they were going to be, due to the schedule, around an 8, possibly 7-win football team. And, you know, we said their early schedule, very difficult, so we'll see. Michael Penix did not look like the same quarterback week one that he did last year against the Penn State defense.
No, he did not look good at all. Nice job by Iowa. Like you said, they're going to start to get a lot of the pub right now in terms of teams that maybe can challenge Ohio State in the Big Ten. A couple of pretty big upsets, too. I mean, Washington just asleep at the wheel, Joe. We touted that Washington win total and how great their schedule was. I mean, you lose at home to Montana 13-7. Your season's over. Let's just face it. I know they haven't played a Pac-12 game yet. They can win the. I'm sorry, you can't take that team. So you lose to Montana at home. Your year's over. You're finished.
We looked at their schedule. We said 8-9 wins easy. Easy.
Yeah. Well, you didn't think they'd lose a game like this. You didn't think you'd lose a game like
this. Well, no. Were they looking ahead to the big house in Michigan and Cade McNamara? That's potential. We saw that with Oregon, and we saw that with Washington. Can't take your opponent lightly in week one. So we'll see if Jimmy Lake can rally this team. It's prime time. It's Harbaugh. It's those old Pac-12, Big Ten days. You need to step up and see if Bean O'Brien's there to rekindle some of the youth of the Washington Huskies, or Nap Kaufman, one of my favorite all-time Huskies back in the day.
Yeah, that went up to 6.5, Joe. Remember the way we saw that thing at 1.5? Even the Huskies were favored in like early July, mid-July. Michigan now minus 6.5 at the Big House against the Huskies coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that a lot this week. I thought that Sark did a nice job. We thought that both of us thought that Texas would get away from the hype behind the Raging Cajuns. Everybody was going to be on them after what they did a year ago. Sure enough, Texas takes care of business. They got it. I thought that Card played pretty well. Your boy Hudson Card had a couple touchdowns in the first half. Bijan Robinson goes just over 100 with a touchdown. Nice debut for Sark down in Austin.
It really was. In the rushing game, right? That's what Sark wants to hang his hat on. And that's why now they're a 6.5-point favorite over Arkansas, right? They were a 3.5-point favorite prior to that kick against UL Lafayette. And that, they're another team. UL Lafayette was the only Louisiana team to not relocate. They stayed right where they were. Did that have a detriment? Did they come out flat? But credit that Texas defense. They kept Levi Lewis and that offense in check. Offensive line played very well, and Sarkisian looked to get into a rhythm in terms of his play calling in the second half. So, you know, as long as they can take care of business, they could be hitting on all cylinders when they face the Sooners in October.
You mentioned Oregon, maybe looking ahead a little bit. I mean, they were tied with Fresno State in the fourth quarter in that game on Saturday, and they needed the Anthony Brown 30-yard touchdown run with about 3 minutes left to go to seal them that win. I'm lucky I had the Bulldogs grabbing that 20.5. I thought that it might be a little bit of a look-ahead spot for Oregon. They have the big noon game in Columbus coming up this Saturday. Do you take it just as them looking ahead, Joe, or maybe like Washington and like some of these other teams, maybe Oregon's just not that good?
Yeah, that's a possibility, right? I mean, the look ahead, also the fact that Fresno State had the week one matchup against UConn. I think that was another factor that, you know, when you could work out the kinks from a quarterback to wide receiver relationship, offensive line continuity, you always have an inside advantage. And coupled with the fact that Fresno State always plays with a chip on their shoulder. So, you know, we saw them step up. They made some plays. And at the end of the day, in order for Oregon to win this ballgame on the road in Columbus, they need the running game. They need Travis Dye. They need C.J. Verdell. If they can't run, they're going to be one-dimensional. They're going to get blown out in this matchup.
I think they're going to get absolutely whacked on Saturday in Columbus. I don't even think the game's going to be close. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We're going to come back, Joe. Who screwed you the most? Plus, the Sunday and Monday games. The Irish with a thrilling overtime win, and Ole Miss beats up Louisville. We keep rolling after that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe. Every week after the games, we will have this little segment, Who Screwed You the Most Over the Weekend? I feel like you have, you have not told me who you're going to go with. I feel like you have several candidates. So I'm very intrigued to know. Let's hear it. Who screwed Joe Lisi the most over the weekend?
I have a few, but here's number one on the hit list right here. Jared Daigle from West Virginia, quarterback, okay? Ooh. Screwed me the most. This game was 21-20 at the half, okay? The defense was keeping Maryland in check, made some nice adjustments at halftime. Maryland goes up 23-21. I'm laying 2.5 on the road. They're in striking distance with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They got a 1st and 10 on the 17-yard line of Maryland. Jared Daigle, pick in the end zone. Changes the whole landscape of the game. Tua's brother comes down. Touchdown the other way. And as that's happening, Mike Blewett is texting me. Great game by Tua. Great game by Tua. I told him, Mike, why don't you go? You know, I told him right then and there, hey, how did Graham Mertz play?
He was pumped up over that Boston College 51-0 win over Colgate on Saturday. He was very, very excited about that.
I know. So that Jared Daigie is number one on my list. And this is a kid that I bought into, former Bowling Green transfer that came there. But let's not forget, in the bowl game against Army, he had to be pulled as well for inconsistent play. I need better quarterback play out of them. Come on, Neil Brown. Coach him up. He threw into double coverage. The game was on the line. They go up 27-23. I cover that 2.5.
So there you go. I'll give you mine now. And mine's a collective effort. The entire Florida Gator defense and Dan Mullen, they all get my who screwed you the most this weekend. Let me tell you something about this guy, Joe. He's another one I can't stand. It takes them forever to start covering. Of course, Florida was laying the 23.5 against Florida Atlantic and Willie Taggart on Saturday night in the swamp. You figure a little pumped up crowd, the Gators are going to get going. Now, they didn't punt at all in the first half, Joe, but for whatever reason, they're only up 14-0 going to the half. They went for it on fourth, didn't get it. They had a turnover. They just had these long drives. And then the second half starts the same way. They get a touchdown on their first drive, the Pierce run. They go up 21-0. You're figuring, just get me one more score. Florida Atlantic's not going to score today. Early in the fourth, Malik Davis, 1 yard run, 28-0. We're finally covering, Joe. Finally covering the 23.5. And then Dan Mullen and the Florida State defense just completely fall asleep. They let Florida Atlantic come right down the field. 3 minutes later, bang, 28-7. And now suddenly, Joe, you're not covered, and there's 4 minutes left, and you think Mullen's probably just going to put the game in the bag, right? You get a miracle 73-yard touchdown run by Anthony Richardson, who, by the way, played better than Emory Jones. Just so everybody, he played better than him. He comes in, gets a miracle 73-yard run. You're covering again. What happens, Joe? With 3 minutes, three and a half minutes left in the game.
They let him matriculate down the field.
They let him go right down the field again, and with a 137 left, Florida Atlantic scores to make it 35-14, and sure enough, the minus 23.5 goes out the window. I'll give Dan Mullen a little bit of credit. He was trying to score on the drive after that. He did not take a knee and end the game. He was trying to put another one on Florida Atlantic. The kid just couldn't get him across down into the end zone. But I still don't care, Joe, because Mullen and the Gator defense, they screwed me the most. I needed that game on Saturday. Would have made it a real good day.
I agree with you, and I have two other coaches on my list as well. Let's start with Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator from Notre Dame. You're winning the game by 18. Geez. Hey, Marcus, you want to play prevent? I mean, it's great. Mackenzie Milton, that's great. Mackenzie Milton, you had an 18-point lead. You bury the kicker. You spin him around. It's a five-yard roughing, right? I mean, five-yard running into the kicker. On any other team, if that's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, that's a 15-yarder and maybe an unsportsmanlike on Brian Kelly for yelling about the call, right? If that's Nick Saban on the other side, right? They definitely get every call. They don't sustain that drive. And Marcus Freeman, we're going to play three down linemen, and we're going to have eight defensive backs and linebackers to just let Corbin and the crew just rush down the field and cover this number and more importantly, almost lose the game. So that's a great job by Marcus Freeman. This should have been a double-digit win by Notre Dame and Jack Cohn. But instead, we allowed Florida State to come back into the game. And then on top of it, how about Thomas Hammack in Northern Illinois? I take that in-game total, 49 and 49.5.
Joe's mad at the guy for going for two.
He goes for two. I always go for two. We can't go to overtime.
Joe's mad at the guy for going for two at Georgia Tech. I can't blame him for that, Joe. I'll admit, he did screw you. There's no doubt.
He screwed me.
It fits into our segment, but normally we give a lot of credit to coaches who do that. The little Northern Illinois from the MAC going for the win at Georgia Tech. Normally, if you didn't have that over, Joe, you would have credited him for doing that.
Yes, I would have. Great job, Thomas Hammack. I'm watching. You're like, he's going for two. What? He's going for two. I had them tied
going
up
for
with
the
Texas
win.
Tech.
Going for the win. And he got it.
Texas Tech stepped up, though.
Well, good job. Listen, Texas Tech stepped up is right. And Holgorsen basically, fueled the fire before the game.
I wish I would have known that.
Let me get you his exact quote. Somebody asked him, they go by Wreck'em Tech, right? Nah, we're going to Wreck Tech. That's what Holgorsen said.
That's it, Dana. Great job, buddy.
So they had a 14-0 lead early in that game, and then the Red Raiders steamrolled them after that. Holgorsen falls apart down in Houston, Joe.
Yeah, that's what he does. 21-7 halftime lead. He goes in, guys, we're just going to play the way we did in the first half. That's what we do. We play our game plan. That's great, Dana. But the other team is adjusting and making adjustments to your game plan. So you got to switch it up a lot. Him and Paul Christ are the same type of cookie cutter coach. They beat up Christ on teams that they have superior talent on, right? Because they can get by on that. They don't make in-game adjustments. They're not good in-game coaches. And that's why more times than not, they lose big matchups. Case in point, Paul Christ and Dana Holgorsen. I'm happy for Matt Wells, because this team, Rico Jeffers on the defensive side of the ball, they were opportunistic. They forced turnovers. And keep an eye out for the Red Raiders, baby. They could be sailing through their win total this year.
Yeah, I thought that they played really well in the second half against Houston. Your boy Tyler Shuck was in the mix down there. Oh, I can't stand him. I do want to. Can I go back to the Notre Dame game for a second, Joe?
Yes.
Because you're right. I thought that.
You're driving
Cohen,
the bus.
I thought Cohen played really well. I mean, 366, four touchdowns, first game at Notre Dame. But you're right. When you're up 38-20 in that game, that's a game where you think, I know me and you had the 7.5. We missed the 6.5. We wouldn't have covered it. Even if we got the 6.5, it wouldn't have mattered. But they did an awful job in the fourth quarter. And from a Florida State side of things, what was Norvell doing? Like, why wasn't Mackenzie Milton playing the whole game? Like, why did he start this guy Travis over Mackenzie? I thought that Milton played better in the fourth quarter. Gave him a little bit of juice. Obviously, you're looking for that from a guy coming in. But I think going forward, he's got to play Mackenzie Milton. I thought he played really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, happy to see Mackenzie Milton in the game. I mean, I'm not taking away in terms of the kid's performance. They thought he would never even walk again, let alone play again. And I agree with you. Jordan Travis supposedly had some concerns about his confidence. So I guess putting him out there in that type of situation, they boosted him. They worked with him all offseason. Supposedly he took huge strides. That being said, though, Carver, I'll say this about Florida State. Everybody was raving about the performance on Sunday. Oh, Florida State, great job. That was as bad of a job on Notre Dame as it was, you know, a testament to what Florida State did. Nine penalties by Florida State. They basically had still snapping issues. The secondary was out of position multiple times. Let's hold the boat on Florida State. I still think they go under their win total of 5.5. They're a terrible road team. They're still undisciplined. So buying in, like we saw a dynamic performance because Mackenzie Milton came on the field. Let's call it what it was. It was more Notre Dame allowing them to come back in. That first touchdown by Corbin, the tackling, what was it? Not tackling lanes. The tackling, I can't even think now. The tackling type of edges that they took. I mean, they allowed them to rush for 89 yards touchdown in that. They had them pinned.
Yeah, they did an awful job.
Terrible.
Final game from the weekend that we've not hit yet was last night's game, where Ole Miss, let's face it, they took Louisville to the woodshed. I mean, it was ugly from the start, and they just kept going. No Lane Kiffin, of course. He gets COVID. He's not even on the sidelines
right. For
Ole Miss in this game down in Atlanta, and it did not make a difference. Matt Corral with an absolutely huge game, 43-24. They end up winning it. I mean, he throws for 381, only one touchdown. It seems like every time they got close, they just started running it in. He had a rushing touchdown. Connor had two. 26-0 at the half. Fourth, I got a little upset in the fourth quarter, Joe. I thought that under was going to be a breeze, and suddenly fourth quarter became a track meet, and it gets to 67. I had the 75.5. I did get a little nervous for the total there. But what a dominating performance from the Rebs.
Oh, it was. And, you know, a balanced performance. This was a defense that allowed 519 total yards per game last year. So keep in mind that. They were a different team under DJ Durkin last night. Physical. They forced Louisville to work down the field. They made Malik Cunningham one-dimensional. That's a testament to that defense. If they could play like that, they're going to be a tough out the rest of the way. But we'll see. Everything changes in terms of that week one matchup. So a dominant performance by Matt Corral. He deserves to be talked about in terms of top performers. He was on point last night. Offense humming last night with Snoop Connor and Jerrion Ealy. So, again, this is a team we know they could score points. If the defense can take the next step, they could be there. They could strike an upset along the way, and they do play Alabama on the road in Tuscaloosa a little bit later in the month of October. So we'll see what transpires. I will say this. It was tackling angles. That's what I was trying to talk
about. Tackling angles.
Angles on Notre Dame. Yes, the angles. That, I mean, with that Corbin run, the tackling angles were terrible.
Yeah, terrible. No, they really were. The tackling angles were miserable. Couple other things. You said big performances. I have to mention this kid, Kenneth Walker from Michigan State.
We talked about him.
264 and four touchdowns on Friday night, Joe. Just an unbelievable job by him as Michigan State takes Northwestern. I mean, they just beat them around at Ryan Field, 38-21. And the other game on Friday night, which me and you have not gotten to talk about yet, I'm tired of Sam Howell, Joe. I don't want to hear it anymore about him. You can't lose that game. I know the game was in Blacksburg. I know the crowd was wild. I know that Mac Brown didn't help him out at the end with the way that they were using their, I mean, not using their timeouts, I guess is the best way to say it. He lost receivers. He lost running backs that went to the NFL. Sam Howell isn't winning any kind of Heisman Trophy this year. His season's over. Let's just say it like it is. His season is over. Awful job, Joe. Awful.
51% completion percentage, 208 yards. The interception at the end, just throwing the ball away. I mean, you're supposed to be a veteran quarterback. Whether you lost your top four wide receivers or not, you're supposed to find a way to gut that game out, and he didn't do it. So I agree with you. You know, the mental resolve is more important sometimes than the physical attributes. I'd rather have a quarterback that goes into a rough environment and wants to come out a gutty type of kid, as opposed to having this kid that, you know, is 10 stars across with physical attributes but folds under the pressure of a road environment.
You cannot have the type of performance he had, and people actually want to go put him on billboards and say he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Just awful. College Football Full Circle, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll come back and we wrap it up. Start getting ready for this week. We got more big games on the board, baby. College Football Full Circle's back after this.
Since you were
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. All right, Joe, a couple others from the weekend. Shiano put it down on Temple 61-14. Rutgers back in the mix. Holy Cross wins at UConn. How about this, Joe, with Randy Edsall? Announces the day after losing at home to Holy Cross, I'm going to retire at the end of the year. And then the next day, the school says, yeah, forget about that. Why don't you just pack up your desk and get out of here right now?
Love it. You think it had to do with my tweet when I put it out? He's going to take the money after the end. You know, he's gone, but he's still taking the money for a year. I'm curious. I tagged you on that. I wonder if UConn said, you know what? Let's just whack him right now. I agree.
Oh, and he deserved it. The bank robber, as you said, the Hamburglar. I guess we were right about the under in Jerry's World between Stanford and Kansas State 24-7. It was a rock fight, Joe.
Oh, really? I mean, David Shaw's up against it. What was that win total? 4? They play USC this week. It's going to be very difficult. They have no offense this year in Palo Alto.
Speaking of USC, they took care of San Jose State 30-7. It was close for a little while. Second half, the Trojans pull away.
Yeah, and that in-game total, 9.5. I wound up taking them when it was like 16-7. So happy that they got the victory. Didn't save me from a terrible weekend, but still.
Iowa State struggled against Northern Iowa 16-10 as they get ready for the Hawkeyes this weekend.
This is what they do. They play down to the level of competition. UL Lafayette, how about Drake 2 years ago? As a 42.5-point favorite, they almost lost that game.
I got to give the gold star to Dino Babers, baby. 29-9, goes to Ohio, and he beats the Bobcats. Save his job for another year. Oklahoma State struggled with Missouri State as well. Baylor beat Texas State. A couple of these other games from Saturday night. How about Illinois? After beating Nebraska at home, they lose to UTSA. Nice job, Joe.
Unbelievable. That was a dynamic win by the Roadrunners. 4.5-point dogs.
And finally,
they got it outright.
Carson Strong. And Nevada with the outright win at Cal on Saturday, Joe. Let's go. All right, Joe, great job today. Great job by Andrew Torres. College football full circle. Carver and Lisa here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll start getting into the week 2 action right here on the grid.